Hey, Teen Titans is not in continuity.
Welcome to the secret, this is Tooncast, episode 98, to you by the Geekcast Radio Network. I am your host, Steve Jim Mike, and today I'm joined by Lupus Convoy. Hello, sir.
Hello, sir.
From WTF at TFW, and of course, the Secret Origins podcast.
Of course.
Of course. How are you, sir?
Not bad. I know we've been fighting and fighting. If people have been listening to Secret Origins, then I've been fighting and fighting to get in my nursing program, and I did actually get in.
Woohoo!
Yes, one of 28 students out of 600.
Awesome.
So, pretty cutthroat, so I'm pretty ecstatic.
There you go, there you go. And I've just been up to the usual podcasting. Tooncast is coming to an end. This is the second to last episode. Technically it's the third to last episode, because episode 100, but yeah, this is technically, after this and after 99, it's done, because we're taking a two-month break, and then we're going to release episode 100 on the two-year anniversary, which is June 1st. And that's it for Tooncast, and then we'll start doing Tooncast Beyond come November. Today we're going to be continuing the DC Animated Universe Spotlight with Justice League. Now, I know over in Secret Origins I said that I treat Justice League and Justice League Unlimited as one show. For the purposes of Tooncast, we are splitting them up into different episodes because that's just the way it has to work out. So, for the history lesson, Justice League is an American animated television series about a team of superheroes, which ran from 2001 to 2004 on Cartoon Network. The show was produced by Warner Brothers Animation. It is based on the Justice League and associated comic book characters published by DC Comics. After its second season, it became Justice League Unlimited and ran an additional three seasons, is actually what it ran. What are your general memories from Justice League, the first two seasons, sir?
Oh, the wrong Green Lantern. Who has no personality whatsoever.
I knew you were going to say that, you bastard.
Yes. But in all seriousness aside, great character development, great story arcs, especially when we get to the end of this season, our series.
Yeah.
Epic storytelling. And just, like, totally taking advantage of the two-part episode format that they have.
Yep. Yeah, this is one of those series that I believe it ran. I'm not looking at the actual information as far as when, how often it ran. I believe it ran weekly at first.
I think so.
And the two-parters, it's like, you know, say it would air on like a Wednesday night at 8 p.m. You'd have to wait till the next Wednesday to find out what the hell happened.
And they were masters of cliffhangers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think there's only, like, I mean, I know over in Secret Origins we kind of went in-depth, and if you want an in-depth look at Justice League, go over to geekcastradio.com and check out the Secret Origins podcast. But I think there's only one real, like, blemish on the first two seasons on Justice League, which is War World.
Ugh. Yeah. Mongol.
I'm so buying you one of those new figures.
No, God, yeah. It's bad enough I have one.
No, I gotta buy you the new one from the
Green Lantern
JLU line.
Oh, the JLU line.
Yeah.
I've got the Green Lantern one, and even that's just for the Build-A-Figure piece. It was a gift, I swear.
But no, great, great character development, great stories, awesome music. Just
music did really kind of accentuate the whole series.
Yeah, it did. It so did.
And then the twist ending.
Yes, the twist ending.
That killed me. Even though I knew it was coming, it still killed me.
Yep. That was just nuts. So getting into the characters and voice actors, just, you know, DC Animated Universe has had brilliant voice acting, and this is no exception. You have Kevin Conroy reprising as Batman. You've got George Newbern, who has taken over Superman from Tim Daly. We'll get into why that wasn't a bit. Susan Eisenberg as Wonder Woman. Michael Rosenbaum as Wally West Flash. Phil LaMarr as the greatest Green Lantern on Earth, besides Kyle Rayner. Carl Lumley as Martian Manhunter. And Maria Canales Barrera as Shara Hall, a.k.a. Hot Girl. Just out of the initial seven, what are your thoughts and feelings on the original seven here?
Okay, original seven, I've got to say that the Martian Manhunter was perfect. I can't imagine Jean as anything else but that voice, and it really disturbs me when I see him in other shows and he doesn't have that voice. And that modality of speech.
Yeah.
It's kind of separated and human, but not totally there. Like, just one sidestep to the left.
Yeah.
I'm glad we've got the same Batman.
Oh yeah.
That was necessary, especially with the same art style and continuation of the character driven story arcs from Batman. Superman is very, very close to the original Superman. In fact, so much so that I couldn't tell that wasn't Tim Daly.
Neither could I either.
Diana's voice kind of threw me at the beginning, like, oh, that's Wonder Woman. Okay. Doesn't sound very wondrous, but it grows on you. Maria Canales Cirrus, is that right?
Maria Canales Barrera.
My apologies, because I do horrible voice actor names, if you couldn't tell. Hawkgirl was awesome. Like, I commend for having her as part of the staff to give it more of a Latin feel for the character. That yeah. works really well.
Yeah.
And then Phil LaMarr, who, although I'm not a fan of the character, he pulls it off quite well because he's an awesome, awesome voice actor. Did I miss anybody? Wally.
Yeah, Wally.
So I did not know that was Lex Luthor. So, but he plays off the character really well with the playfulness and the, I don't want to say lightheadedness, but he plays the dip very well.
Mm-hmm.
And it, the way that he does play the character, it definitely brings forth the fact that he is the conscience and the heart of the league.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Some other support. I mean, the supporting character list, even just these first two seasons, it's just
huge.
The list is a mile long. So, basically, for other recurring characters, Alfred Pennyworth by Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. as Alfred was awesome. Amazo, played by Robert Picardo, again, very awesome.
Awesome. I didn't even know that was Picardo, because I'm so used to the hologram version
yeah.
of Picardo.
Brainiac, who was done by Corey Burton, again, just such great voice acting. Clayface, Ron Perlman. Ron Perlman can do no wrong in the DC Animated Universe.
That's awesome.
Michael Ironside is the definitive dark side. He is the only person I would ever want to hear for Darkseid's voice. I would love to see him.
He wasn't that way in Apocalypse. He didn't do the voice in Apocalypse.
No, though. He didn't, unfortunately. That was Andre Brower. It would have been so much better if
it was him.
If it was Ironside, yeah, but just that, because his voice of Darkseid is just, you know this guy is, like, super evil. This isn't the 1970s Super Friends Darkseid who wants to get in Wonder Woman's pants. This is the Darkseid to crush your world.
He definitely was imposing of a voice.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I never take Darkseid really seriously, but, I mean, with that voice, how can you not?
Yeah, you should start taking Darkseid seriously if he had that voice all the time.
At the same time, he's not only powerful, but he's very all-knowing, I guess is what I'm going for. Like, he's bored. Like, oh, great, more people that I can just step on. Why are you putting up a fight? You know you're not going to win, so just get out of my way. No.
Michael Rosenbaum also voiced Deadshot in one episode. You have Keith David, who voiced Despero in Hearts and Minds. Keith David has an awesome, awesome voice for voice acting. Mm. Very, very cool. Dr. Fate was voiced by, I know I'm going to get this wrong, but Oded Fur. I knew I was going to get it wrong, but yeah. I cannot believe that Freddy Krueger, Robert Englund, voices Felix Faust. One of the worst.
Step down.
Yeah. I was going to say, one of the worst characters, Felix Faust. Jennifer Hale as Giganta. Powers Booth as Gorilla Grodd. Arlene Sorkin as Harley Quinn. Oh, you got to love Harley. And especially with
the
Joker.
I love Harley. Yeah. How could we forget the Joker before the whole bat embargo?
Well, he was listed under Harley. So, I mean, yeah, the Joker by Mark Hamill, easily. Even though Mark Hamill said he's retiring after Batman Arkham City as far as voicing and doing voice acting and all that, just his Joker is just like Dark, just like Ironside's Darkseid is the definitive. His Joker, for a lot of people, is the definitive Joker. You got Dennis Haysbert voicing Kilowog. I love that.
If it didn't seem like Kilowog.
Oh, yes, it did.
No.
It
sounded too whiny.
No.
Oh, yes.
No.
Oh, hi, guys. I'm very nasal. I'm really sorry about making fun of you.
No, it didn't. Because Flash is like Bob and Terry's. He just throws the whole carton in his mouth. Mmm, delicious.
But still, it just...
Clancy Brown as Lex Luthor. I mean, Clancy Brown has voiced Lex Luthor since Superman the Animated Series, and just the stuff he's done in Justice League was just amazing as well. You have Brad Garrett as the main man Lobo. Very, very cool. I mean, the voice cast just reads like, you know, who's who. You know, you got Tom Sizemore, Eric Roberts. Eric Roberts voiced Mongol. Wow.
Horrible character.
Olivia Dabo voiced Morgane Le Fay. Ron Perlman, again, was Orion. Let's see... Snapper Carr was voiced by Jason Marsden. The Shade was voiced by Stephen McHattie. Sinestro, Ted Levine. Solomon Grundy was Mark Hamill as well. Star Sapphire was Olivia Dabo again. Ultra Humanite was Ian Buchanan.
Which was such an awesome...
Yeah.
Awesome. Like, the voice actor went way above and beyond bringing that character to life to someone that I actually cared about.
Yeah, exactly. And then, of course, you have Phil Morris as Vandal Savage. I mean, Corey Burton has got like three or four different roles in this. He voices Weather Wizard, Toy Man, where's his name again? Metallo, Brainiac. I mean, you know, it's kind of like a Corey Burton show. So out of these characters, I mean, I know obviously we can't pick favorites, but what are some of your favorites out of the...
We can't pick favorites, but go ahead.
Well, no, I mean, like I'm not asking for, like, most favorite, like, your number one favorite, but, like, which characters did you like the most?
Out of the supporting cast?
Yeah.
I like Star Sapphire, but that's because I'm still a Green Lantern junkie. Oh, you know, a lot of the good characters, like, show up in this later on. But, what was the name of the Thanagarian woman from the last episode that we absolutely hated that gave lip to John?
The what?
The Thanagarian, the woman in
white.
That was, like, talking down to John.
Yeah, Perrin-Duel.
Perrin-Duel.
That was,
someone that you love to hate.
Yeah, I think that was, she was voiced by Elizabeth Peña.
Who else? I mean, Ultra Humanite, he was awesome.
Yeah.
Lex, I mean, you know, Grodd. Just because his super plan, just, he's a lovable monkey that you just want to, you know, pitch into a zoo.
That's funny.
And Tala didn't show up until the second
yeah,
season.
Tala didn't show up until later. But you've got, you know, Kevin Conroy returning. He had, you know, he's done very different variations of Batman's voice over the years, obviously, to, you know, to compare to the shows. Like, Batman Beyond, he was a old Bruce. And in here, in addition to Batman's uniform was also redesigned, given a mixture of his previous animated costumes. It was basically the same bat suit from the new Batman Adventures, but had the blue highlights from the original series costume. The mask's ears were also extended as a reference to the futuristic bat suit from Batman Beyond. Tim Daly, who voiced Superman in Superman the Animated Series, did some early recordings, but was ultimately unable to reprise his role due to his involvement with the short-lived remake series of The Fugitive, and was replaced by George Newbern. And as we said before, I mean, I didn't even notice it. I mean, I know you didn't notice it, but nope. I didn't even notice the voice difference. I thought it was Daly that was doing Superman in this.
See, Daly, you should have gone with Superman. Never doubt the man of kryptonite.
Never doubt the one-armed man either.
No, doubt the one-armed man because it didn't do too well for him.
I know. Most of the characters retain their general comic book origins and continuity, with Wonder Woman being the notable exception. In Justice League series continuity, the premiere story arc Secret Origins revises the plot of Diana's competition against her fellow Amazons. To the ambassador of peace to man's world, she is referred to as a rookie superhero during her first encounter with the League. Let's see. Although the series itself is animated in traditional 2D, two-dimensional style, the opening credits are rendered in 3D with toon shading. Just overall, I mean, the voice cast just made this show. It was just amazing what they did with it. You know, there are probably some, it's probably characters more that we don't really like rather than the actual voice actors. Like, I know you don't like Mongol, but the voice for Mongol was pretty good.
I'll agree, the voice was good. I just wish that the episode never, ever aired.
Too late.
we blocked it out.
That's funny. Okay. Let me see here. So just like I said, super awesome having all these characters show up. Nice to that they're finding voices that actually fit with the way the characters are. Moving into some behind the scenes stuff. Significantly, the well-known but much depreciated superhero Aquaman was left out of the lineup. Although he would be used on the show in favor of a second female on the team, Hot Girl, and the African-American Green Lantern, John Stewart, who has worked with the League in the comics before and is used rather than one of the better-known modern-era Green Lanterns, Hal Jordan, Guy Gardner, or Kyle Rayner. Even though Rayner had appeared as a Green Lantern in the Superman animated series, in addition to his race, the producer felt Stewart's original abrasive personality would have more dramatic potential In the second season, Rayner is described as a lantern in training under Stewart's old mentor. Explaining his absence, both Rayner and Jordan make brief appearances in Justice League Unlimited. Gardner was never seen in either series.
Woo! Except the comic.
No. Gardner was never seen in either series. This is cartoon. How many times do we have to have this discussion?
He was robbed.
How many times do we have to have this discussion? This is cartoons. This is not comics.
He was robbed.
According to audio commentary on the DVD release of Season 2, the second season finale, Starcrossed, was expected to be the final episode of the series. However, in February 2004, Cartoon Network announced a follow-up series, Justice League Unlimited, which premiered on July 31, 2004. Justice League Unlimited features a greatly expanded roster of heroes, usually with only a few appearing in any given episode, though there are a few featuring just about the entire roster fighting against one giant enemy. As far as like some writers and directors and stuff like that, you had Dan Reba, Butch Lukic, Joaquin Dos Santos. May he rest in peace. You have Dwayne McDuffie writing 34 episodes. Stan Berkowitz, Bob Kane, William Marston, Joe Shuster, Jerry Siegel, Rich Fogel, Matt Wayne, Paul Dini. Just a lot of great writers and directors and stuff like that. Very, very awesome. So getting into the actual show, what are some of your favorite... I mean, the basic plot of each story is that it's a two-part story, and they all have two or three parts, and they all have adventures, and they all have to go on a certain mission. So what were some of your favorite episodes from... the first two seasons, Lupus.
Oh, God, there were so many. Well, first off, Starcrossed. I mean, that's the big, huge power one.
Yep. Injustice for All.
Injustice for All. That was just because it's Ultra Humanite. Come on. And the Joker. And we find out that the Bat has a thing for cats.
Yep.
Well,
we kind of already knew that, but...
Yeah. Oh, no, it gets worse. A Night of Shadows.
Yeah.
A Savage Time.
Yeah. The good Twilight, not the bad Twilight, the good Twilight that was the dark side two-parter that opened season two.
Tabula Rasa.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah. A Better World was always really, really good.
Yeah, that was actually really good. Secret Society?
Yep. What? Oh, yikes, dogs.
Yeah, hold on, back.
Okay.
Oh, sorry about that.
That's fine.
Okay, where were we?
I don't know, I was talking about...
Episodes.
Episodes, yeah, that's what I was talking about.
The Terror Beyond.
That was one I never really cared for, but it's okay.
I loved it, because it's the episode where Grundy dies.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And that's a huge, huge storyline for Hot Girl. Wild Cards, the last episode that we had with the Joker and what's her name show up?
Harley, yeah.
And Starcrossed.
Yeah. I love Hereafter, the one where Toy Man disintegrates Superman and supposedly he's dead, but he's just in another dimension.
All in all, after looking back on it and not being so critical, I think it was a really good episode.
Yeah. It really was. And plus we're getting a future Superman, Vandal Savage.
Get along.
And no, we're getting a future Superman and Vandal Savage action figures in the JLU line.
Oh, we are?
Yep.
Nice.
They showed them off at Toy Fair this year.
So we're only a dream.
The only good thing about only a dream, the only good thing about only a dream was Batman's lines.
And that song.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What are you doing? I'm trying to keep you out of here.
Sure.
Give me a triple.
That was such an... Now!
Yeah. Give me a triple now. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, these episodes, I mean, even if you're just watching them for pure enjoyment, for the most part, I would be able to watch most of these for pure enjoyment, with the exception of stuff like War World.
Maid of Honor.
Maid of Honor is not that bad. I can watch that one. That one's
Princess
okay.
Princess of Cosnia, come on.
It's okay. It's not that bad. Paradise Lost. I hate Paradise Lost. The one with Faust.
Metamorphosis? That was meh.
Yeah, that was meh. Hearts and Minds. The only good thing about Hearts and Minds is Keith David voicing Despero. But, I mean, overall, I could still watch these. I love watching
Shadows.
They're
ones you can put in the background. They're ones you can put in the background.
Oh, yeah. I love watching Night of Shadows just to see Etrigan.
I just love his opening lines.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Which is very, very, very cool. So, all right. Well, we are going to be moving on to the music segment. The music was done by Lolita Romanis, Christopher Carter, and Michael McQuestion. The theme for this was just amazing. It was really, really great. Every single music cue that's in these first two seasons fits the show. You have a lot of really epic music during epic battle scenes. You have a lot, what Michael McQuestion did with the quote-unquote love theme for GL and Hot Girl at the end of Starcrossed was just amazing as she flies off, because it just left you with a whole bunch of emotion. So the music was really, really great. What are your thoughts on the music?
You know, honestly, the opening song it's epic. It sticks with you. It gives you a feeling of what's going to happen in this feeling of kind of like a Silver Age comic. Like, these are the heroes. This is what's going to happen. You know they're going to win. And I will say that the orchestration of the rest of the series music is so subtle. It's right. Done well, but it's done in such a way that you don't even realize that it's there and it's messing with your emotions.
Yep. Yeah. It's just so, so great. And just the way that they were able to mix in, and we'll talk about this next week in the Unlimited series a little bit more as well, but...
Are you thinking about Green Arrows?
One of the greatest things about the Justice League show is they were able to work stuff in... Every so often, like, if Batman has an epic moment, they will find a way to work in the Batman the Animated Series cue as his theme. More so, they did this in Batman Beyond. Christopher Carter did it like a dark Superman the Animated Series theme when Superman was chasing Batman, Terry McGinnis Batman. But it's always just such a refreshing thing to hear the really, really great music, and I'm hoping that La La Land Records or somebody, hopefully La La Land Records will do it. They'll put out a Justice League Unlimited soundtrack, because that would be so great.
That would be nice.
Yes. Moving into the Legacy segment, some reception. The show has been well received, the fans and critics, many comparing it to Batman the Animated Series because of its darker tones, complex writing, and storyboarding and in-depth characterization. The show holds 8.8 out of 10 on the Internet Movie Database. In January 2009, IGN named Justice League Unlimited, which is the second series, as 20th best animated television series of all time.
Yes, we know how we feel about IGN.
IGN sucks. Go over to Geekcast Radio. We're making our own top 100 list. As far as, like, Legacy for toys and DVDs and comics and stuff, like I said, there is an entire line of JLU figures, not only specific to show characters, but they also do, unfortunately in one case, they also do non-show characters. Non-show characters, meaning the character doesn't really count. They just slap the JLU label on there because they don't have another label to slap him on there with. But anyway, so the toys are very cool. Actually, it's funny, one of the three packs that I finally was able to get a hold of was the Batman Joker Grey Ghost 3-pack.
Oh, you did finally get it.
Yes. It's funny enough. I you know, finding it online is a nightmare. One day I went to Target, and the first thing I always look at in any toy aisle is Transformers. Target didn't really have any new stuff. Actually, they had no brand new stuff. So I said, all right, well, I want to see just by curious, because Mattel has JLU line exclusive to Target. I wanted to see if they were there. Right in front of my face, two of them. I was like, yep, yoink, got them. That's it. So yeah, I did finally get that. They're very, very, very cool. As far as the DVD releases, there is season one. Season one is both on regular standard definition and also high definition Blu-ray. The only season that's on Blu-ray is season one. Season two came out, and then you have some individual releases. You have Justice on Trial, Paradise Lost, Justice League Collection, which contains Secret Origins, Paradise Lost, and Justice on Trial DVDs in 3-pack with slipcase. Star-Crossed the Movie, which is a movie version of the 3 episodes, which is very cool. Brave and the Bold and Challenge of the Super Friends to Justice League contains previously released Justice League Secret Origins DVD along with 2 Super Friends discs and slipcase. And we'll talk about the complete series next week. There is a complete series for Justice League, but we'll talk about that for next week. So I think we're going to go to some ads and some other stuff like that there.
Dreamcast will be back after these messages.
Welcome to my throne room, future tales. The Beast Unleashed podcast is over, not gone. You can hear more of this great podcast discussing all the episodes of Beast Wars and Beast Machines on GeekCastRadio.com. We include voice actor and writer interviews with stellar hosting by Steve, Mike, and Michael. Head on over to iTunes or the net, or else I will send you my vehicles to extract your spark and destroy you. Yes.
Hey guys, Raphael here of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Did you say podcast? Dudes, dudettes, you're listening to the podcast on the Geekcast Radio Network. Cowabunga!
Hey guys, this is Optimus Solo from the Geekcast Radio Network, and I was thinking the other day that maybe I've been too hard on the folks over at IGN. I mean, they had to put some effort into their top 100 animated series of all time list, right? I mean, maybe it's just me that wants to punch a baby when I read it. So in all fairness, I thought we should gather some of the people who were involved with this list and get their opinions. So what do you guys think about the IGN list?
I didn't think it was physically possible, but this both sucks and blows.
Okay, anyone else?
Dumb, dumb, dumb! Those dudes are so dumb!
I'm afraid to ask, but anyone else?
Epic fail.
Homer, they put your show at the top of your list. You gotta like their list, right?
I stand by my disappointed groan.
So I guess we should do something about it then.
Are you pondering what I'm pondering?
I am, Brain. I think we should unveil the Geekcast Radio Network's top 100 animated series of all time list.
I second that emotion.
And I know that our list will be much better than the IGN list. You know why?
We watch a lot of TV.
That and the fact that we are teaming up with This Week in Geek, the Pop Culture Network, Chicken Pop Pod, and some other great geek sites.
By your powers combined,
we will give you a list geeks everywhere can be proud of.
Coming in 2011 to a podcatcher near you, he brought you laughs, he brought you fun, and now he's going to bring you movies. That's right, Double D is back with an all-new show. It's Double D Does the Movies. From the makers of the hit blog, read by tens of internet users across the Southern Ontario region, comes an all-new monthly podcast by movie lovers for movie lovers. Double D will be joined by his friends in the podcasting and filmmaking communities to discuss all the latest movie happenings. From Hollywood all the way to the Southern Ontario region, he's got you covered.
Catch Double D Does the Movies, available now at thisweekingeek.net.
Be afraid. Be very afraid.
Chief Quimby here, and your assignment is to listen to Tooncast.
Sword of Omens, give me sight beyond sight. I see a new episode of Tooncast coming this week.
We're here with the cast and crew of Justice League. Why don't you guys introduce yourselves?
Jennifer Hale, I play Giganta and Killer Frost.
My name is George Newbern, and I play Superman.
I'm Maria Canals, and I play Hawk Girl.
I'm Phil Lamar, and I do the voice of Green Lantern.
Hi, I'm Susan Eisenberg, and I do the voice of Wonder Woman.
I'm Andrea Romano, and I'm the casting and voice director.
One question that I get asked a lot, and probably you guys do, is like, what do you like about voice acting versus on-camera acting?
Just less ego. Less ego, less stress.
That's my experience with it, too, is that there is less ego with the actors. It's not about if you're tall enough or blonde enough or skinny enough. It's really about whether you can act the role and if you can have the fun doing it. It seems that the actors are more free to just enjoy and play.
And it's a challenge to make everything happen with just your voice. You know, they can't see my face. I don't have anything else around me to help me. There's no set. And it's like, I want to make that little nuance come out in my voice. It's exciting. It's a challenge. I love it.
No, I said rotate the securing bolt counterclockwise, not clockwise.
That's what I did.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Now, I don't know. It seems in my experience, because we have a lot of guest stars on the show, and you'd know this best, Andrea, but it seems like the people with singing backgrounds or stage backgrounds are the ones who adapt most quickly to doing voice
acting.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. It has to do with, I think, the energy involved in stage acting, too. It's because voiceover acting is subtle, but it's not as subtle as on-camera TV or on-camera film is. It's a little bit broader, and so stage actors seem to have the presence that is required for it. And singers, too, you're right. They have the mic technique already, obviously. That's part of it. And then that seems to translate well into the voiceover field.
Because this time, I won't stop until you're just a greasy smear on my fist. Let's go.
As actors, do you treat a superhero differently from another character?
You remind me all the time. She's a warrior. I'm a warrior.
Yeah.
And the body language, like our body language when we're behind the mics. I mean, I know with Wonder Woman, she's very regal. I mean, I remember that from the audition. You know, there's just something, she's had a certain background and she's been raised a certain way.
Bonsoir, Wonder Woman.
Bonsoir, monsieur. I'm not slumped behind a microphone. I mean, that I always, even though I'm sitting, I am always sitting up straight. There's just a sense of who she is physically that I think we all are conscious of when we're doing it.
Then I guess you'll have to feed me. Don't be afraid, little man. I won't bite.
The next question is, how did you decide on your voice for the characters? And for me, seeing these guys with gigantic chests just made me think, well
he's got to have this, you know, enormous voice for this enormous chest. Whose side are you really on?
Don't you know?
Well, you know, it's funny to think about that, like Giganta, she's huge, but she's all girl. I mean, she'll kick your butt, but it's her power comes from her, like, girl thing, you know, and she's a warrior. But, you know, her bad comes from that. Everything comes out of that. It's that dress. It's
You wouldn't hit a girl, would you?
I would.
I started out sort of at one level. They used to pitch me down, and I think as I sort of got older during the series, my voice got a little lower, and didn't have to reach for the low part. But I definitely had to really focus on Superman, because you're right, he's drawn so gigantic. You see his bone structure when he gets electrocuted a lot, which is all the time. I'm sitting there looking at his vertebra, going, God, that's like the vertebra of an elephant. He's huge.
Any minute now, Brainiac will explode. And guess what? You're going with him.
Is there a different energy when we have a special guest star? Because we have a lot of really cool guest stars. Now, do you guys feel like there's a different energy in the room?
Yeah, very much.
Yeah. It's very exciting for me because I get to bring in actors that I admire.
That's more like it.
But I'll bet you folks at home are wondering who these wild cards are.
Though it pains me to admit it, I need your help.
My word is absolute and must be accepted by all.
Ain't this great? The whole team together again, all eight of us.
I have to look at it as who's going to come in and have fun with us and yes. enjoy this process and not be freaked out by the fact that they've never right. had to work without the benefit of their physical being. Right. It's really right. about being able to translate to voice.
Well, I remember one episode, and I'm trying to remember who all was here, but it was just like everybody was speaking in like bass tones. There was Clancy Brown.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I think Powers Booth. Mm-hmm. And Carl was here. And oh, Kevin right. Conroy was yep. was here
and
in
you,
the studio.
Yes, and you too.
And yeah, I was doing
yes.
my low voice. Yes. And and I think Powers Booth. It was
like, yes, everyone was just like, well, what do you think? Yes. I don't think this.
To the point, yeah, you weren't even listening. You were just feeling it through the floor. It's right. like, all right, was that a good take? Okay.
Anything I took was freely offered. Maybe you should take better care of your stuff.
What are the advantages of recording as a group versus individually?
It's far better when the group is together. I think everybody does feed off of each other's yeah. energy. And I think that it's important for you two to hear what happened in the scene before, even if you're not in it, how sure. your scene is then going to follow and what's going to make sense.
Take 157.
I was bad cop.
You're always bad cop.
Why play against type? Anyway, we got a name out of her.
That's another thing that bothers me. Aquaman and Dr. Fate.
Fate's some sort of mystic, isn't he?
That's right. And only magic could have hurt me like this. I guess I'm off the fence.
Somebody asked, what are recording sessions typically like? And, I don't know, I would say they're pretty much like this, only yes. with great big microphones in front
of
our
faces. Are we allowed
to
actually say?
Mayhem. It's a little bit like being a teacher in an elementary school class. You know, I find
sometimes,
that sometimes.
I'm sure.
The really silly part is the rehearsal, because we rehearse the same day that we record. And so you have about a 40-minute rehearsal where you go through, I read the stage directions that are important to you guys to know as far as how it will affect your lines being read. And then that's when the silly stuff really happens. That's where everybody sort of gets out all the silly ad-libs right. and the wild things that they do. Right. And then when we get to the actual record, then it's a little bit more down to business and let's get it done because we have a finite time to get this done in. And so then it gets a little bit more down to business. But the more fun thing to watch is, in right. fact, the rehearsal.
Right. What's the plan?
Plan? We blow that thing out of the sky.
And another big part of the recording is the action scenes. We do a lot of it in ADR, but we also do it live. A show like this has a lot of action. Mm-hmm. Guys, give us your thoughts on the action scenes and the grunts.
I think that is a whole separate day of animation. It's so physical. It's so much fun. Mm-hmm. It has become one of my favorite things.
You didn't seem comfortable.
No.
Doing the
no.
the action scenes.
No,
but now you're great at it. What changed?
I just got comfortable with it. It's like I let go of the inhibitions of it, of looking silly, of being concerned, and just having fun, of really feeling the punch, of really throwing the punch. It's one of my favorite things.
Oh, crap. One more. Specificity is so key in it. Like when someone says, okay, you get hit. Well, where am I hit? In the face, in the gut, in the arm, in the leg? When am I hit? Am I shot? Am I punched? Am I stabbed? Am I kicked? What is it?
Well, if you're George, it's everything.
Right.
It's everything.
Yeah. Electricity is his special thing.
Yeah, I just got my head crushed by gigantic feet. What would that feel like? It's an extra, your imagination has to
be.
I would never
it.
Survive that crush. So what would that sound like?
All right, now I say to you, discuss Walla.
We can't use full words if we discuss Walla.
Everybody discuss Walla in three, two.
Run.
Bruce, just give us a level.
Get out of my way! The big old ball's gonna hit us! Ah!
Let's talk about what Walla really is
Let's
so that
dress.
Everybody understands what it is. It really encompasses a large group of things. It may be a crowd scene in a stadium where everybody is just basically talking. It's the sound that you would hear if you walked into a sports stadium, and what do you hear? You hear all the crowd talking about whatever. People joke sometimes that when they do Walla, they actually say the word Walla, 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 Walla. That really doesn't work. And so sometimes we'll have to say, here's what the words are that you might be saying in this.
And it's also, we get very silly
during it. I mean, yes. It's that one time where we really just
cut loose.
Yeah, we do, because it's the whole group, and you bring people in, and right. You bring some of the writers, and, you know, Bruce will come in, and, right. You know, and then it's like, really, we're just playing.
It's fun. Yeah. It's all fun.
And if we can't have fun making cartoons, for goodness sakes, we're just exactly. In the wrong business.
We do. Pretty bad odds.
Yeah, they don't stand a chance.
What do you guys like best about working on Justice League?
I like the cast.
It's a good group.
Yeah.
And it's like a great feeling when you'll hear Andrea say, excellent, and you look up and you see Bruce smiling.
Plus being part of a show that has such history, you know, being...
iconic character.
Being Superman, being Hawkgirl, being Wonder Woman.
The way popular culture is now, you know, there's so much ambiguity, and the bad guys are good, and the good guys are bad, and this is one of the last places in pop culture where good really is cool.
That's a wrap.
Just about.
You like it, Bruce?
Good.
That
yes.
is a wrap.
Oh.
Really nice, you guys.
Now back to Toon Cast.
Okay, so final thoughts on the first two seasons of Justice League, sir.
A great start to something that's even better in its completion.
Yeah. I mean, like you said earlier, the two-part kind of like hour-long story thing really, really worked. And it was just amazing. Amazing, amazing storytelling. Yes, there are a few that aren't that great, but they can be overlooked. Thank you for joining us here on Tooncast. There are ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the shows. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Follow us on Twitter. The show name there is GCR and Tooncast. Mine is TFG and Mike. What is your Twitter?
Caminiti style. CaminiTistyle. Mickey Mouse.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork. Call the voicemail line. Tell us the show you're leaving the message for and your name. 502-526-5821. Again, I want to remind everybody, you have until, what did I say last episode? I think it's May 23rd, 24th, I forget. I think I might have said May 27th. You've got till then to get in voicemails for episode 100 of Tooncast, so...
Wait, you guys get voicemails? Oh my god. We have secret origins.
Sometimes. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Tooncast, and we'll join us next time when we'll be finishing the DCAU Spotlight with Justice League Unlimited. For now, I am TFG1 Mike with
Lupus Convoy.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.
Hold on a second here. What about the whole secret identity thing? I mean, I trust you guys, but I'm not sure I'm ready to...
Wally West, Clark Kent, Bruce Wayne. Show off.
Red hair. It suits you.
You think?
Change now. Gentlemen, it's been an honor.
You never asked how we voted.
It doesn't matter.
So, where are you gonna go?
I don't know. Someplace where the fate of the world isn't in my hands. Someplace where there are no more secrets, no more lies.
Was it all a lie?
I love you, John. I never lied about that.